1 Corinthians, where we're going to be this morning. If you're a guest, I'm glad that you're here. And one thing that you should know is that we're teaching through the book of 1 Corinthians, and what it's going to require is for us to think about the city of Corinth and the author. The author's name is Paul. And the reason that we read these letters that are make up the New Testament is because we believe that the written word of God, the Bible, reveals the living word of God, Jesus. And the more clearly we see Jesus, the more fully we understand God. So the reason it feels so important to us to say, okay, what does the Bible say and how does that apply to our lives isn't just an exercise in history. It's not just an exercise in trying to take the Bible and hold it over you or inform you or fill your intellectual kind of a volume of knowledge that you have. It is truly because we believe that we can meet God on the pages of this book. And so I said at the very beginning, it's my hope and prayer that you'll experience God today. And so the really best way we know how to help you do that is by opening the Bible and help you to understand it. Now, I don't know everything there is to know about the Bible. I do know some, and so I've spent a lot of time studying, getting ready for today and thinking about it. And we are in chapter 3, verses 5 through 17 is where we're going to be teaching today, which means that we've already done the first couple chapters. And so if you have a Bible, open it up there. It's also going to be on the screen, or you can use your iPhone or any other type of smart device to get on. It's cool, all right? And if you get bored, check your Facebook. It's all good, all right? And so that's where we're going to be today. And I want to ask you a question. What do you think is the most influential business of your lifetime? Think about that. That's an introductory kind of question. What do you think is the most influential business? Like, what company has the greatest influence in our day? Can you just holler it out?
Starbucks.
Amen to Starbucks. Yeah, give a shout out to Starbucks. Keeps us all alive one cup of coffee at a time. What was the other one that was the right answer?
Apple.
Apple is the most Chick-fil-A, brother. Now you're preaching. Come on up. Come on up. oh man, Chick-fil-A. The other day we won. Jeannie won a prize. They were like customer of the month, and she's like, "Oh, if we're customer of the month, we get to come, and they give us all this free food." I'm like, "No, we've paid for that food many times. The fact that you're customer of the month means we need to relook at priorities in our home." So, Apple shares hit a historic $1 trillion market value just recently, a few weeks ago, and it becoming the first publicly traded U.S. company to reach over the milestone of $1 trillion in market cap value. It's interesting to me. Many of you have been consumers of the product Apple. It's always fun to consider the fact that there were people that in the early days of Apple missed out on an opportunity, right? They may own an iPhone now, but some people, like this man by the name of Nolan Bushnell, you might have heard the name. He turned down an opportunity to invest $50,000 of seed money into Apple. And he worked with Steve Jobs at Atari, or actually Jobs worked for him. And then, but he turned down the opportunity, and I'm trying to find the weirdest picture of these guys on the internet. And so that's him. So he would have owned one-third of Apple. And today, that company is valued at a lot of money, so he would have earned one-third of that, owned a third of that, right? Or this other guy, Ronald Wayne, he was another co-owner. He had a 10% stake in Apple early on, and he sold it for $800 2 weeks after Apple launched. And then a month later, he took $1,500 and renounced all claims of ownership to Apple. If he had kept it, his small portion would be worth $40 billion. So it's interesting to me to consider this, that there's people that had an opportunity to get in on something early, they bailed, and so they missed out. They missed out on investing in something early that would have truly transformed their lives on earth in a monetary kind of a sense. And if you do a little research, there's actually many stories out there about people who left too early from wildly successful businesses like Facebook or Amazon or Google, or there are many others, I'm sure. They left for this this company as a partner and instead are now just consumers. And I think that this helps us think rightly about the church as we begin to kind of play out this analogy. There are some who will consume the church, but will never really get a payout because they've never truly become partners. Let me say that again, and then I want like three amens from the Pentecostals. There are some that will use the church, consume the church, but they're never really going to get a payout because they've never truly become partners. That was four Pentecostals. Way to go. God invites us to invest our lives into building a great church. You know, it's a real tragedy that all around us, there are people that treat church as a with a consumer-only mentality. They feel very little ownership of it. And I want to be clear about something from the beginning as I'm beginning to explain this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that I think this is an amazing place. I really think of every church I've ever been a part of, and certainly the ones I've worked at, no offense to those that I've worked at, but that this church is the most partner-minded church that I've ever been a part of. And so I'm not beating you up here, but what I want to do is kind of push forward the idea that we can get into this place where we have a consume-only mentality as it relates to the church. But God wants to invest our lives into building a great church, and the return is eternal. So this is what Paul is dealing with as he's writing to the Corinthians. Now, he's talking here to the Corinthians about this newly established church. And one of the very first ideas he puts forward is that the church is a we, not a he or a she or even an it. Okay? The church is a we, not a he or a she. And the reason that he has to put forward this idea is because there was division in the church. And the division in the church was over whose group was better than the other group. And the groups were represented by different leaders. One was Apollos, one was Paul, and one was Christ. And so there was division within the church of people saying that their group was a little bit better. And so it was creating problems in the church, and it was slowing the church down. And what Paul was telling the Corinthians is that within the church, it's not about any person. It's not about he, the leader, or she, the leader, or it, the building. It's about a we. It would be sort of like at your workplace, the accounting department thinking that they're better than human resources, or the human resources department thinking that they're better than the sales department. And everybody knows that the IT people think they're better than everybody, right? That's true. And they typically are. So there's division within the church. And the reason that Paul addresses this, he's writing them about this in the letter because he knows that the church won't work like this. If the church believes that it's about one person within the church or one group within the church, like if this church said, well, the music team is more important than the Kid City team, or the Kid City team is more important than the host team, or, you know, anything like that, then we would not be able to move forward together. Or if this church said that the most important person in the church was a particular leader in the church, maybe the worship leader or the drummer or the pastor or whatever. And so Paul is saying it's not about he or she, it's about a we. Look there in verse 7. Only God gives the growth. Verse 9, we are God's fellow workers. This is so important. Here's the thing. When God became flesh in the form of a man named Jesus, this is what the Bible teaches. He walked on the earth about 30 years, was crucified, 3 days later was raised from the dead, walked on the earth for a very short period of time, ascended into heaven. The Holy Spirit came and established what is called the church, the local church. And so the local church's responsibility is unique and different than any other Christian institution in history or in the world. The local church's responsibility as the bride of Christ, as the family of God, is to be an outpost. It's to be a place that people get to hear about the good grace and mercy and love of God Almighty. So the local church is incredibly important. I work with different organizations in the city that are not churches, but they're Christian-oriented organizations. And those are important, but they can never replace the local church. Now, here's why I say that. The Bible says that you get to help build it. You get to help build it, not just the really spiritual people, the people that have been to seminary or people that have been in the church a long time, not just the people that are sitting here this morning that didn't do anything bad last night. How many of y'all sinned like big time last night? All right. Thank you for confessing. Several did. And I feel better about myself right now. But you, no matter what state you're in, because of Christ, you get to be a part of building the church. And it's not about a he or a she, it's about a we. Everybody say we.
We.
So the point is, needs to be taken. All credit for anything good in the church goes to God, and what God does is he uses the us. It's interesting, Paul says in verse 10, I laid a foundation, which sounds kind of arrogant, like, oh my gosh, Paul, what are you saying here? No, what he's saying is I laid a foundation and someone else is building on it. I had a role, and that is to preach Christ. You received the good news about who Jesus was and is and what he is doing. And somebody else is teaching you about Jesus. And God uses all of us together to build this thing he's called the church. You were never meant to be an attender, merely an attender or a consumer of the church. Some of you are stunted in your spiritual growth because you are a consumer only as it relates to the church. Like your measurement of your value or how good your experience is in the church is primarily about whether or not you like the music and the sermon on a Sunday morning. That would be a consumer-only mentality. And so you're never meant to be just an attender or a consumer of the church. You're meant to be a partner. You're meant to be an owner, an employee. You know, at our church, we have members, but we don't call them members. We call them mission partners. The reason is because when I think about membership, I pay a fee, I get a service. Pay a fee, I get a service. I show up when I want to. I don't show up when I don't want to. And so we're pushing back on that idea a little bit because in Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says to the Philippians, I thank you for your partnership in the gospel. Like, this isn't about the stage. This church is not about the stage or me or music or whatever. This church is about us together partnering to be used by God to do something great. And here's the thing about being a consumer only. You'll never get enough. You'll never truly be happy in the church. You'll always look at the church through the lens of what can I get out of it instead of what can you put into it. And the church will never work if the majority of the people have this consume-only mentality. It's not meant to work like that. And in fact, there's an elephant in the room in American Christianity, and that is that at some point in our history, we begin measuring success primarily by how many people come into a room for a few hours on a Sunday morning. And what has happened is, so we've created these environments that are all about consumption and all about entertainment. And I want you to consume, and I want you to enjoy yourselves, but it can't be only about that. And so because our church across the country and across the world has been like this, what's churning out is Christians who think that Christianity is all about them as an individual. And that's a problem, because a church will never work like that. It will never work like that. In fact, the world outside the church looks at it and says, what a joke. So when we think about what it means to be a part of a church, we're not saying, how often am I going to attend the church? When we think about what it means to be a part of the church, we think about what Jesus says when he's talking about dying to yourself. Being a part of a church is you saying, it's no longer about me, but it's about we. It's about serving the greater purpose and greater mission and giving my life for something, investing in something that will have a return that has eternal significance and eternal impact. See the good news of Jesus heralded across the city and across the world. So verse 10, this is why Paul says, let each one take care how he builds it. So each one of you, I mean, that's incredible to think maybe for some of you, that your role in this church is as important as mine. Now, I have more time because I'm paid to work in the church. Granted, not asking you to spend 50 hours a week doing it. But your role and your purpose in this church is no less important than mine or Andrew's or anybody else. In Christ, you have this role. You have a place and you are a partner in mission. And the foundation has been laid by people that have gone before you, of which I have been one, where we say this thing is about Jesus. That's the message since the inception of this church, is this thing is about Jesus, and we've not hidden that from anybody. And there are some of you here that are not Christ followers, and I hope that you appreciate the honesty of that. Like, we're not trying to trick you in anything. Like we're not like, hey, bring you in with donuts and coffee, and then like, boom, hit you with the little Jesus. No, we've said from the very beginning, I'm not shaming anybody that loves the donuts and coffee. In fact, I'd like one right now. We've said, no, this thing's about Jesus, and we want to help you understand what the Bible says about who he is, and we also want to ask questions alongside you about what the Bible says about who he is. We want to wrestle together honestly when our faith struggles to believe what the Bible says about who he is, and we want to be honest about that. And we can do it together. But it'll never work if the church is made up of people who have an I mentality, I consume mentality. It will only work when the church is made up of people, primarily made up of people that say, it is we, not a me. And if you read the New Testament, nearly every time the New Testament talks about the church or what you are supposed to do as a follower of Christ, nearly every time it says you, plural. It's crazy to think about. You, plural, you together, here's how we are to follow and honor Jesus with our lives. And you can say, well, I don't want to do that. I got too much going on. I'm too busy. You don't know what's going on in my life. And that is true. You can choose to engage the church just as a me-only consumer mentality. You can do that, and you'll be welcome here. However, the church will not be what it's meant to be in your life, and we as a church will not be what we're meant to be in this city if we have a church filled up with people that have a me mentality. So you're saying to me, okay, Russell, great. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to find my part in building this building? You might say, well, I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to work with the kids, although those people have the first, you know, they'll be the first ones in heaven. What am I supposed to do? Let me just give you a few ways that you can identify and think about what your role is in the church. You must first identify your spiritual gifts and your passions. And I'm really going to introduce these concepts because they come up again in Corinthians, which is one reason that it makes sense to say them here. Identify your spiritual gifts and passions. And Paul has said, take care, each of you, on your place in building the church. And this is what I'm telling you. Like, you have a place as a partner in building the church. And you say, what am I supposed to do? Well, identify your spiritual gifts and passions. The Bible says that whenever you become a follower of Christ, what's released in you or given to you is a spiritual gift that is meant to be lived out in the church on mission, and it's unique to you in the sense that if you don't do it, there'll be a gap, there'll be a missing place. Everything that we're supposed to do as a church in this city and in this world, God has provided the gifts for us already in this church to do it. Often when we get to a place of going, I don't know how we're going to fill this role, I say to myself, you know what? We believe that God's going to provide the gifts and has already provided the spiritual gifts needed to accomplish the mission God has called us to. Our job is not to go find the gifts, it's to help people identify the gifts. Identify your spiritual gifts and passions, and there'll be more of that in coming weeks. Second thing you must do is you must believe that you're a valuable part of the body, which I've tried to passionately communicate to you. You must believe that you're a valuable part of the body. Each of you are a part of different groups in all over the world. I mean, maybe not all over the world, but all over the city. You know, we are. I have three sons playing football, a daughter who's in dance. That's in addition to our other little activities connected to each of their schools. So we're a part of all these other groups, and we serve, and we try to love and contribute and not be a weird Christian in the midst of all these things. But none of those organizations are as important for our family to participate in as is the local church. Why? Because none of those organizations were meant to be the institution or the movement through which God's good news about who Jesus is declared to the world. And we'll serve there, we'll love there, we'll care there, we'll give there, we'll sweat there. We'll encourage our kids to participate in those things, but nothing is as important as the local church. You must believe that you are a valuable part of a very valuable movement of God. And so if you believe this, then you'll prioritize the church. And I don't just mean prioritize Sunday morning, although that's a part of it. I mean, you'll prioritize the people. You know, the word church in the New Testament, it's not a building, it's a people. You prioritize the people on mission among all the other options that you have to spend your time or energy and money. You'll reset your mindset to think of yourself as an owner. You are an owner, not just a consumer. Owners take responsibility for the success of the organization. Consumers hold loosely to their loyalties. Let me say that again. Owners take on responsibility for the success of the organization. And consumers hold loosely to their loyalties. And you may be new to this church and you're wondering, what kind of leader am I? I am the kind of leader that wants to regularly give away ownership, because I believe that's what the Bible teaches me to do. To equip you to do the work of the ministry. That's how we lead. If you own it, you'll care about it. If you just consume it, you'll easily move on to the next. So in our family, we like to eat Chick-fil-A, as I've already confessed. I'll go on to another restaurant. I don't know about you. Who likes to, like, just check out different restaurants? Raise your hand if that's you. Yeah, it's a fun thing. One of the cool things about living in this area of the city is that we have more than, like, Chili's, right? And we have lots of cool little eating places. And so when I go into one of these places, I'm going in as a consumer, right? I'm going in as a consumer. I'm not going in thinking to myself, when I walk in and there's a piece of trash on the ground. Actually, I might pick it up. But, you know, I'm not trying to go in as an owner, like, how can we improve this restaurant? I go in as a consumer. I eat the food. If I like it, we come back. If we don't like it, we don't come back. Just this week, Andrew introduced me to Urban Eats over on Washington. Raise your hand if you've ever been there. Super cool place. It's really cool if somebody else is paying, too, because it ain't cheap. And So we went in there, and our experience was fantastic. I went in as a consumer. I had no sense of responsibility for the organization. And I went at lunch on Thursday, and then Jeannie and I went there for breakfast on Friday. And he was like, "Oh, you're back." I was like, "I know. I'm just trying to get fat." So that's a different way of thinking about showing up in an organization than is we're supposed to think about the church. The church is, I own it, so I care about it. I do have an invested interest in it, and not everybody can do the same kind of building in the life of the church. Not everybody's teachers. Not everybody has the gift of hospitality. Not everybody is musically inclined. Not everybody is a preacher. Not everybody, you know, you get it. Everybody has a role. And all of this is meant to produce a product that is called a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, forgive me if this sounds way too business-oriented, because I'm not trying to demystify the church. But Jesus did tell us what the product is supposed to be in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations." This is what you're supposed to do together, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Some of you are like, "Why are you always on us about baptizing, being baptized by immersion?" Well, it's because Jesus said this is what we're supposed to do. "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you," which is what we're doing right now. "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's the product. Make disciples. So the church is a we. It's not just a me. Our product is make disciples, and it matters for the community. It mattered for Paul to talk to the Corinthians about how they showed up in their community as a group of people representing Christ. In fact, the church is the most beautiful and most clear example to a community, it's supposed to be, of who Jesus is. And Paul goes on to say that each of us takes care to do our part in building, and we'll know whether or not we're building the right kind of thing whenever adversity comes. And adversity will prove whether or not it's being built in the right way. Now remember, Paul is writing this letter about what the church is supposed to be like because he's addressing areas of division, and there are problems, so the church is not being what it's meant to be like. And if you for one moment think that I'm talking here about how we can as a church build a great business, and it sounds very plastic or neutral, let me just read these verses to you. Because Paul wants to make it clear to the Corinthians that this little organization in Corinth that is called the local church is something more than just a great club or a great tribe. It is, in fact, a place where the Holy Spirit of God dwells. Verse 16, do you not know that you are God's temple? And this is plural. You may have heard this passage before, and it motivates you to go work out. Like, I'm going to go to the gym. My friend Michael's in the back, and he owns a gym that I have attended a long time ago. And I would maybe say to him, I'm going to go to the gym because the Bible says I am God's temple, you know, and to be motivated by that. So maybe that's you, and maybe you need that, and that'll help. But really, actually, what it means is that we together, plural, are God's temple. Do you not know that you, as a group of people on mission with Jesus as the object of affection and as your foundation, you are God's temple and the Holy Spirit dwells in you. If anyone destroys God's temple, and he has in mind here the people in the church causing division. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. I mean, that sounds pretty serious. For God's temple is holy and you are that temple. This is why it's important to have a right understanding of what the local church is. You are an important part of it. You are an important part of it. So some of you are here at this church for the very, very first time. You're like, okay, so you said this church is an amazing place with beautiful people. And one of the things that makes this amazing place with beautiful people is that we try to be honest about who we are and not over-spiritual. And we try to talk about the scripture in such a way that makes sense for tomorrow. And that's been our hope and our desire, and I'm inviting all of you to take responsibility as someone who's called by God to help build the church. And for some of you, you're like, it's an affirmation of what you've been doing. For others of you, it draws you in a little more to go, you know what, I have had a consumer-only mentality, and I'm ready to take a step in the life of the church. This is the kind of church where the majority is functioning in the life of the church like a partner, and there will always be a few that are consumer only, but we want there to be a strong current towards we partner together for something greater. And one of the reasons is because the ministry that goes on in the life of a church when we have a we mentality is eternally significant. It's the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God, and it's eternally significant. It's eternally significant in a few ways that I just want to put before you. It's had an impact in a few ways that I just want to put before you. Right now, in a room just adjacent to this one, or in the building over, there's a group of several dozen kids. And right now, those kids are being loved on and cared for in a very special way, and they're hearing about the goodness and grace and mercy of God Almighty. That's the kind of church that you're a part of when people say, we are about this thing together. We're partnering together. And there's not a person over there that's being paid to do it. Every one of them is volunteering to do it. In addition to that, the church, when it's functioning in healthy ways, is able to gather in small groups. And in those small groups, knee to knee, we're able to hear from one another and speak truth and love to one another. All around this area, in this community, we have smaller groups that meet during the week. And one reason we continue to put those groups before you as like, this would be good for you, is because something happens in there that's uniquely different than you coming and sitting and facing me and me talking to you and then you walking out with very little light dialogue. When a church is healthy, people are engaging in smaller groups during the week, and that is happening in the life of our church. When a church is healthy and people are partnering together, a small church can do significant things. I mean, you're sitting here, and you're sitting in a room of maybe 100 people, and you're thinking to yourself, like, okay, what kind of thing can this church do? I'd rather have 100 people, 90 of whom who feel like they're a part of something and feel ownership in something, than sit in a room with 1,000 people with very few people who are, or most of them that are just consuming the sermon. I've been there, okay? But when a church like ours gets a vision for like a we are partnered together on mission, then what happens is we get to be a part of things that literally transform a community. Do you hear me? It's the kind of people that we become, that we're investing in this thing that has a ripple effect a transformative effect on not just you as individuals and people in Kid City and you and in small groups, but it has a ripple effect, a transformative effect on people all around us. And one way that we see this happening is through this incredible movement of churches that we're helping start. I just want to celebrate that for a moment, because when the church is healthy and when people are owning it and they're finding their passions, they're finding their gifts, and they're taking responsibility for it, which is what I'm calling you into, then when that is happening, which I believe it is, then really incredible things can happen. Just this year, and I mentioned this last week, and I'll mention it again probably next week, we have collaborated with 7 other churches and many, many other organizations to help plant 8 churches. And so I just want to show you an image of just the guys that are a part of these planting teams. And so right here, these are 8 guys whose families and other families are going throughout all over Houston within this window of about 3 or 4 months, and they're planting churches, all right? Pretty awesome. There's some guys that are planting in inner city pockets. There's most of them are planting in suburban pockets, and then there's one that's planting in a more kind of urban pocket, which is kind of near where we are. One of these church planting residents that our church has supported, has loved on, had cared for, taken responsibility for is Sammy Ramos. He's right here on the left side. Sammy's actually going to be preaching next Sunday, which is pretty awesome. And you've been a part of that. So here's the, I'm drawing this to a close, but what I'm trying to do is say, when people take ownership in the life of the church, and they give financially as an act of obedience to God, when they serve, when they show up to serve, when they care for one another in small groups, when they do more than just consume only, really incredible things happen. You all ought to be celebrating with me that we are a part of planting 8 churches. And I'm about to go into a season where I'm just going to start training the next, I have a role in training the next 8 churches that are going to be planted. That would not be possible if we together weren't in this together. You're a part of it. One of the churches that we've been participating in the establishment of has been working in Northside. And not only have I been able to coach the leaders, but we as a church have gone over there in different times, in different ways, and served. In fact, this summer we went over with a group, worked with another ministry partner called Attack Poverty, and helped do some stuff in the community. And my friend Sergio, he and I have been friends a long time. In fact, 7 or 8 years ago, he and I were at a conference together. I'd never met him. He's a Latino brother, and I'm white. And we're sitting next to each other, and the speaker says, if you don't really have close friends of people of different ethnicities in ministry, you need to do it. And he looked at me, and he's like, hermano. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know what that means, but cool, you know. And God is doing things. And so I want to end this just by saying, you have an important part of what God is doing in this church. This is about something more than just showing up and evaluating a preacher or evaluating music. I want you to feel good, and I want you to walk away encouraged, but I also want you to walk away feeling a sense of responsibility. A responsibility not only to other people in the room, but a responsibility to God. Because God has established His church to be the movement through which people meet Jesus face to face. And that's what we care about. And that is why we're here. I bet I've preached a sermon like this, I mean, several dozen times in the 7.5 years we've existed as a church. And the reason that I've preached it so often is because it is all over the Bible. And so it better be all over our lives and all over our mission and all over our hearts. So let's think on and pray about these things. Would you bow your head? God Almighty, we love you. And Lord, I just trust that your Spirit, which dwells in this group of people, some of whom who've only been here for today, others of whom who've been here since day one. God, we trust that you can, in the mysterious way that you always can and always will, like work out how each of us understand our place in this church. And so, God, thank you that I get to be a part of a church and work in a church that I would actually attend if I didn't work here. I pray, God, that each of us would take responsibility for this organization, God, and that we invest our lives, God, believing that the payout is for our community and eternal benefit. And ultimately, God, the payout is that you get glory. So, God, right now we want to respond and we want to begin thinking about what you want us to do in response to these words, God. So we just love you, and I pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.